This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong, but most of all. Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church. I thank you for joining us here. I don't have much time for an intro. I got 90 seconds here because you're going to hear 26 minutes of the Word of God here coming up. You're going to hear part two of the sermon I just started playing on Friday, and it's called Redeeming the Time. And this sermon is out of our study in Ephesians, which we just concluded a couple weeks ago. And we have 2 weeks left, actually 1 week left now in Moses. Now tomorrow, that's Tuesday and Wednesday, you're gonna hear my sermon, Moses and the 10 Plagues of Egypt, which I just preached yesterday here at Island Community Church. So more on the church as the week unfolds. Let's get into this message now, Redeeming the Time.
Remember, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus. And remember, God has not forgotten you. Paul said, thank God for it, because God is transforming you into a super Christian. Are you in God's dark? Are you in God's dark room? You know the funny thing about a dark room? Is if you turn the lights on in the dark room, you ruin everything. You can't turn the lights on. Or a modern day vernacular to that would be cut bait and run. You're not going to let God see you through this. You've had enough suffering, so you're going to cut bait and run. You can't do that. You got to wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. He'll give you what it takes to get through the trial, and you will start toting one of these. This is what we want, right? This is a spiritual atom bomb to kick demon rear end. That's what we want, right? I'm going to imagine you being tormented by a devil at home at 3 a.m. and you say, hold on a minute, let me give you Pastor Paul's phone number. Don't give out my phone number. He already has my number. Or Darren's phone number. He's got Darren on his frequent dial number list too. And now Dwayne's a new one on that list. That's funny. All the men, well, some of the men, and probably others haven't even told me, the men that the Lord's put here to ensure this church is victorious, all endure demonic suffering. I wish I knew what that was. My wife's flashing me a verse.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that
right. In other words, God will throw you the life preserver. Right? He knows how much we can take. He promises never to put more on us than what we can bear. But remember, God test drives us all the time. And what you think your red line is not the same as what he thinks it is. He knows what it is. You think what it is. You know? You know, I got this Corvette. You know, my red line is 2,000. What a sissy. My red line's more like 13,000. And it gets up to 3, and you say, all right, God, that's enough. That's enough. This car won't go any faster. And he's like, step back, son. Boom. 8. 9,000, and you sound like Mr. Scott. It's going to blow any minute. And then you hit 10 and 11 and 12, and you're still going. And you're captain. What are you going to do? And God knows our red line. And again, wait on the Lord. He will never put on you more. Boy, apparently there's just something going on here this morning. I had no idea here. I didn't plan on speaking this. Are you in God's dark room? Are you in God's dark room today? Wait on God. Let him see you through, and you will come out the other side, no jokes aside, with the spiritual fortitude that you need to cross this finish line in faith and to bring as much as your friends and family along with you. That's what I'm trying to say today. No jokes aside. God is transforming you behind the scenes. Just wait on God. God demonstrates his own love towards you, and that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. Next time you forget how much God loves you, look at the cross. Look at the cross. All right. Let's move on to a new subject. How about husbands and wives? Can we address that a little? Let's move on to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So he says, wives, submit to your husband the same way you submit to the Son of God. And in verse 23, once again, he's going to tell you why. There's always a reason. No, I take that back. There's not always a reason. When he says do something, do it. Even though there might not be a reason. Especially, I'm wrong on that. More often than not, there's not a reason for it evident to us. But when he says it, do it. Lean not on your own understanding. But here we have a reason why wives are to submit to their husbands the same way they submit to him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But all of that is not possible if the husband does not follow verse 25, which says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, to all of you husbands out there, hear the command. Think how much Jesus loves his church. He died for his church. You are instructed to love your wife the same way. The same way Jesus loves the church is the same way you men are to love your wives. How do you get your wife to submit to you in the same way she submits to the Son of God? Try loving on her with some of this agape love, the same love that God so loved the world. Any woman who does not receive that is not walking with God. If your husband's going to treat you this way, what a dream come true that would be. I mean, I'm not a woman. But if I was a woman and if my husband was going to treat me the way that he loves the church, speaks by itself, doesn't it? Now, back to this verse 25, we got the command to husbands. Then we have the phrase, that he might. But in the New King James Bible, the H in he is capitalized so that the responder to this obedient act would be who? Jesus. And not only that, it appears that now Paul's not talking about the wife anymore. Look at this verse. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Again, there's the command, and there's the type of love required of a married man that is due his wife. God commands you. Now, verse 26, so that he might. Notice the H is capital. He. Not the husband. He's talking about Jesus now. So that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That's his church he's talking about. Verse 27, so that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. All right, so here's what he's looking for in the church, or better yet, his church. Glorious, that is splendid, adorned in pure white. Number two, no spot or wrinkle. Number three, not even the hint of a spot. So husbands, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, which would make the opposite true. He who does not love their wife does not love himself. How could that be? Whatever happened to the two shall become one flesh? That's funny. That's right where we're at. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak about Christ and the church, meaning just like the husband and wife become one, so you and the Lord are one. The Bible says that you and I are in Christ. So let me address this here quick. A few things here. 5 points. Number one, God is the creator of marriage. As much as you might kick and scream and raise your voice about that, you can't change fact number one. Number two, the government can't change rule number one. Number three, two people of the same sex cannot become one flesh. Two men cannot be married in the eyes of God. Period. Thank you. Number four, homosexual marriage is wrong on every level. Number five, God makes up the rules, not men. Marriage is in the first book of the Bible, in the second chapter. It goes all the way back to the beginning. God established what marriage is, not man. I don't care what rules they come up with. No, let me rephrase that. God doesn't care what rules you come up with. He is the one that establishes marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman, period. Fall in or fall out. Now in England, people marry their cats. Someone hit me over the head with this. Marry your cat? Chapter 6. We got time. Linda's looking at the clock. It's 12:30, Linda. Okay, just a few more minutes, I promise, okay? Chapter 6. Children. Children and parents. Actually, children's fathers, slaves, and masters, We're going to skip probably to slaves and masters. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Meaning that's the first commandment where there's a comma there. Where he says, you know, do this, comma, so that. It's the first one with a promise. And there's the so that, verse 3. So that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Solomon talks about this in the Proverbs as well. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But you want to know how to really raise up your children? Try this one on from Pastor Paul to you. Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, the righteous man, or if you have to, substitute woman here if the man is gone. A righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. That's what I'm talking about. For you men out here, or if you're raising up a child and the man is gone, for you women, lead the example by walking in integrity. You don't have to beat anyone. Walk in your actions speak louder than words. Though a little fanny spanking sure is not bad from time to time. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible calls you a fool if you don't spank your child, right? The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. You know, kids follow. They copy their parents all the time. Try walking in integrity. Don't swear at your house. Walk in the truth. Turn the channel on your television set. Lead your house by example. And your kids will do likewise. At least they got a better chance to do likewise. You bring them here and let them listen to the word of God and baptize them. You got a lot greater chance now. All right, we're going to skip. No, we won't skip it. Who said that? Well, it's hard to find a modern example of bond servants. Let's call a bond servant someone who works under somebody else, who has authority over you. That's our best modern day understanding today. Maybe you work for a mean-spirited nasty. This applies to you. Here it goes. Bond servants, Greek word doulos, back then it meant slave. That's why some translations there, you might have slave in your Bible there, Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. That means, don't do it for them, do it for the Lord. And do a good job with it. In sincerity of heart, that is, as if you were performing your work for Jesus himself. Regardless of who your boss is, regardless of how mean they are, how nasty they are, regardless of how they mistreat you, do what you do, do it to him, not to the person that you work for. Ultimately, sincerity of heart. Verse 6, not with eye service, that is, you only get up and do something when someone's watching you. The question is, what do you do when no one's watching you? Do what you do with integrity when no one is watching you. So, verse 6, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants, or that is, you're slaves of somebody else. Not the flesh and blood man, but like I've said, I've sung the song there many times. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. And it might be the Lord. But you and I, people go, oh, I refuse to believe in Jesus. The Bible's got slavery. You bet your sweet bippy. You're a slave of someone in this world. You are either, Paul said, you are a slave of sin, that is, sin owns you, or you're a slave of, actually, to be a slave of God, the Bible calls you a slave of righteousness. I love that. You know what that means? That means you're chained to it. You are chained with going out here and making a difference in this evil world. You're a slave of all the things that make God slam his gavel down and say, I like that. And you're a slave to it. You can't help it. You know what I mean? Aren't you just feel that way sometimes where you're just inspired to do good? You can't help. You can't help seeing that person there and not stopping and doing something. Or seeing something on TV and stopping and doing something. Or a special offering in here, not stopping and doing something. You're a slave of righteousness. You're a slave of something. You're either a slave of sin, where sin owns you, or you're a slave of righteousness, and that is you just can't wait to see what good you're going to do. What good you can do here. What good you can do with the talents that God's given you. Because he's coming back to take inventory with what he's given you. That's the last verse. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Now we'll stop here for the day. Next week we'll wrap up the book of Ephesians. But let me sum up this message here. 4 points. Number one, I urge you, buy up all the time that you have left and devote it to God. Devote it to God. How does that go, Romans 12? Make your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about that. Make yourselves a living. Notice, you know, all sacrifices are dead. Except you. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable to God. Which is your reasonable. He's not asking that much. Serve God instead of this evil world. Buy up all the time you have left. You know, Dwayne was in my office yesterday. And he had this video of David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. The guy died the other day. He put on his Twitter the other day, he says heaven is overrated. And then he died. Boy, talk about famous last words. But what unbeknownst to me was what Dwayne showed me, a video of the guy from the day before, and he was in tears. And he said, oh, I wish I had more time. I need more time. And then he says, heaven is overrated. And then, just like God says, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Then who's going to own all these wooden ships? Redeem the time. That's all he had to do was redeem. You can't buy back all of those. That's another Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. I know all of them. Wasted time. Wasn't that the name? Redeem the time that you have left while it's still today. I encourage you. You don't know when you're leaving this world. redeem the rest of the time that you have and go out of these doors like Ebenezer Scrooge on December 25th. Proverbially speaking, buy the biggest turkey you can find. Number two, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Number three, husbands, love your wives as much as Jesus loves the church. Treat your wife like that, and she will gladly submit to a spiritual superman like that. Just treat your wife right. That's all. Honor her. Love her. Treat her the same way Jesus treats the church. How many of you married wives here, women here, would love your husband to treat you that way? Or are grateful that he already does? I hear so many war stories of people who, of women who says that their husbands have never told them that they love them. Good Lord, you've missed it. Men, if you've never told your wife or if you wait to every 20th leap year to do it, you've missed it. You've missed it. You stand in condemnation of God. Make it right. And you wonder why your wife's. Number four, don't drink too much. Or in some cases, don't drink at all. Sometimes you can go back and do things you used to do. Sometimes you can't. Some music is off limits for me. I can't go back and listen to some things I used to listen. I can't do it. Paul said, looking to what is ahead. You got to move on. But if drinking doesn't own you, don't drink too much. Try filling yourself with God instead of spirits. You know, I always wondered when I was a kid why they called it spirits. Now I get it. I'm like, you know, I was like a kid, you know, bubs, wines, and spirits. Spirits? What do they sell, Casper in there in a bottle? I'm like, what dad is a spirit? Now I get it. It's the same one. Advice from the Apostle Paul, I say, let's try our best to walk in his sound advice. Okay, let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing.
Maybe the streets are gold and there's a table with plenty room. Maybe we don't grow old and we got nothing to lose. Maybe in the promised land there's a choir when you walk through. Oh, but I pray heaven is like rain on a tin roof. Maybe the sun don't set and the waters don't rise. Maybe we don't forget how to laugh like a child. Maybe in the promised land we're all made for what we do. Oh, but I pray heaven is like rain on a tin roof, washing away. Washing away my sorrows, giving me faith to follow a new tomorrow. They tell me in the the promised land, there are mansions to choose. Oh, but I pray.